Hey there, welcome to What's the Truth. My name is Jessica Hoddle and I'm your host. Today we're going to be talking about overcoming worry, and I have a special guest, Nicole. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, and she's the author of From Lost to Found, Giving Up What You Think You Want to What Will Set You Free. And I couldn't think of a better person to be able to come on here and talking about overcoming worry. She's a new friend recently that we have kind of connected over on Instagram within the last year. And I love her content. I love her heart for helping women heal through a faith-based lens. We need more people speaking about biblical foundation for healing and overcoming things versus kind of just putting a scripture band-aid on things. And I think that's why I really wanted to emphasize that when I talk about my new book, Face Off With Your Feelings, it's not just something that we put a band-aid on. We don't use scripture as a band-aid. We really use it as the foundation. It's the ointment. It's what heals the wound. And so we don't take our pain and try to just shove scripture on top of it. We actually have to process, receive the love of the Father, understand our identity, coming and living from our identity to be able to process through and understand the pain and the new life that we've been given in Christ. And so I want to make sure that you get the opportunity to win a free copy this week of my book, Face Off With Your Feelings. All you have to do is sign up at the link below and get my free guide, Chase God, Not Your Feelings. It's a guide to live by faith and not by what you feel. And that's all you have to do to be entered. I'm going to be choosing an email every single week throughout this season to win a copy of my book. And if you want to be entered twice, you can also share this podcast on Instagram. So before we get to the interview, go ahead, sign up, get your free guide. Make sure you hit follow here on the podcast. Get your pen and paper ready because Nicole has so much wisdom to share on what it means to overcome worry. Nicole, thank you so much for being here with us today as we really talk about this topic on overcoming worry. And I would like us to just get right into it in the foundation, I think, of where does this come from? Why does it maybe present itself in our bodies and in our situation? I think often we bypass the root of worry. I think worry is a symptom. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit, but why don't you get us started with just kind of the root system of worry?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here with you all. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. I consider anxiety a secondary emotion. Another word for that might be more of a reaction than a feeling or a primary emotion. And the root system of it, pain can come from two different directions. So either our emotions are a violation of love, which tells us who we are. So pain around our identity, such as not good enough, unworthy, even worthless. And then pain can also come from a violation of trust, which makes us feel unsafe. So we might feel helpless, powerless. And anxiety can be a reaction from either one of those two directions. So we might feel like we're unable to measure up to expectations, that we're inadequate, that we're not good enough for the task we're being asked to do. And we could, our body could tell us by getting anxious or overthinking it with worry. Or we might be in a situation where our empowerment is limited and we would love to be able to control more than we can. And our brain, and this is what I see probably most often with worry, our brain starts trying to help us out by controlling more than we're able to by just overthinking it and worrying about it. And usually that's a sign that we've stepped beyond what we're empowered to do, beyond what we have agency over and choices in, and starting to worry about it because we're in territory that we don't have any control over.
I love that you brought up the primary and the secondary emotion. I think oftentimes we live as it's happening and we put that as the ultimate truth. And it took me a while to even myself to question, why is this happening? Why is this coming up? Why am I feeling these sadness or anger or worry? And I love that you even talked about trust, because I often think about when I'm worrying, I'm putting it on myself versus putting it on God as well. And like you said, mm-hmm. you're taking on too much. So why don't you talk us a little bit through about that overthinking process of when we start to do that with our brains and how that kind of begins to, I guess, communicate to our bodies and what we can even feel in our bodies as worry.
Yeah. So our bodies are so kind in so many ways. They will often alert us that there's something we need to pay attention to that we might not be giving proper attention to in our lives. And sometimes, just as a side note, anxiety is a tricky one, because often, especially in, I live in a very affluent, high achieving area. And I see this a lot in my practice, where there's a ton of anxiety, like there are in so many different parts of the country and the world. However, often your body is trying to tell you something is not working in your life. Like you are keeping a schedule that is not boundaried. You're saying yes to everything for fear of what will happen to you or your success if you say no. And your body is trying to tell you, hey, there's a time to say yes and a time to say no. You're saying yes too often. This is not sustainable. And instead, we try and quiet the anxiety, the symptom, instead of saying, well, what pain, what lie is driving that for me? Is it that I'm only as good as my last performance, and that I need to speak into that? That what is my value really based on? And then same with the trust. So what you were talking about, of stepping beyond what we're empowered to do, I think a huge component when we feel unsafe or when we feel helpless or powerless is being able to say, okay, I may not be able to control the entirety of this situation. I may not even be able to control very much of it, but I am a human being who is empowered to make choices, if only the truth that I'm telling myself. Like I can narrate this situation for myself. And so being really aware of the choices we have and being really aware of what we would love to control and can't. So sometimes a great journal exercise that I will have clients do, and I even practice myself, is just to put draw two large circles on a page and literally just brainstorm, what are all the choices I have? What are all the things I can put my energy toward and actually make a difference? And then in the other circle, let's brainstorm all the things we would really love to be able to control and can't. And if you're a person of faith, I think it's a great prayer exercise to literally hand that other circle over, knowing that we can trust God with all the things that we are not empowered over. And that's an invitation. And when we find ourselves worrying about it, it's a sign that we're trying to control something that we should be trusting God with. Like you said earlier, we're trying to carry something that he was meant to carry. And then in this other circle, we can think about, okay, here are my choices. And yes, God's involved in that too. And I can depend on him through the power of the Holy Spirit to make right and good choices, but that's where my energy is best spent.
I love that you were talking about how kind our bodies are. Mm. I think so many women believe that their bodies are against them. Yes. And then they get into this opposition, even with their mind and their body. So now they're hating their body because it's not doing that. And then we're not speaking life or breathing life. And it's just this war within our body, within even a spiritual warfare. It's these layers of this kind of war that I see that we are trying to fight within ourselves. And that's why I'm always like, your body is trying to protect you. It is trying to take care of you. God created your body. And I love that when you said invitation, because I truly believe that when there's things happening in our bodies and we start to feel anxious, our palms start to sweat, our heart starts to race, it is an invitation to create the space we need to go to God, right? To be quick to hear, slow to speak. It's this whole reaction, you know, in Ecclesiastes, he talks about, do not let your mouth lead you to sin. There are things that in our hearts, right, that come out, but it's an invitation for us to slow down, to think about, and to be able to process. I love that you gave the examples of the circle, because I always tell myself, I'm like, I can only control what I do, what I say, how I react, how I say sorry, the words that come out of my mouth, how I pray. And that has helped me to be able to say, have I done everything that I can do? Because then I know that God is going to take care of the rest. And it's this whole faith and works and being a hearer and a doer at the same time. And I think what I would love for you to talk about, maybe how worry shows up in our life, maybe in that day to day. So maybe people can maybe pinpoint it. For me, it's always getting them to the awareness. If they can just get to the awareness phase, I believe that helps so much. Can you maybe talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we can't change what we won't name, right? So awareness is key, because I always think of the verse in Ephesians, taking off the old self and putting on the new. We have to know what it is that we're taking off in order to be able to do that. So yeah, worry can be so physical, to your point. So I think if you can catch it in the overthinking phase, that's great. But I think noticing it in your body is a great entry point if you're new to this awareness. So maybe you wake up in the morning and there's a heaviness in your chest as soon as you start to think about your day. I carry a lot of tension in my jaw, so I get migraines. And a big gateway to the migraines is a tightness in my jaw that I'm just holding my shoulders. I always joke that my shoulders look like earrings sometimes because they're just riding a little bit higher than they should. I think on a more schedule line of thinking, you know, lack of sleep, you're not eating normally, you're not prioritizing sort of basic human needs, even exercise, your routine is thrown off. So all of these can be just a few. It's not an exhaustive list, but clues. And then the underneath layer there would be, where does your mind go when left on neutral? So that's a huge clue to me, not only, you know, faith speaking to the idols in my life, but also my worry is surrounding my idols because I'm trying so hard to control my own will. Yeah, for me, it's a control piece. And I find that most common in my practice, that worry tends to be related to control. But where does your mind go when left on neutral? What's the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning? What are you thinking about when you go to bed at night? What tends to rule your conversations? And I hesitate to mention this one because I don't like to bring the idea of performance into our prayers, but I do think it's helpful to notice, certainly in my prayer life, what am I spending most of my airtime with God on? and just to notice that He wants to hear it all. But I think that is another clue to where we are investing our thought life and our emotional life.
Can you talk a little bit more about what it means when you talk about neutral?
Yeah.
When your brain is in neutral, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So Winnicott is somebody that I studied a lot in graduate school, and he has this idea of transitional space. And the best picture I have that I was actually given as a student in graduate school of transitional space is sort of like that toddler in the car seat, in the back seat of your car, where there's no music on, they're just sort of looking out the window and observing, their mind is just sort of on autopilot, thinking about lots of different things. As adults, I think we have to work to put transitional space into our daily routine. But it's the margins. We're not a part of any conversations or we're not studying anything. It's just sort of like when we're doing the dishes or going for a walk or getting ready for bed at night, when we're doing something mindless in our routine, where does our brain wander? What subject does our brain sort of circle around? And for me, I really notice that it tends to go toward what I'm worried about. And I have some choices in even that conversation in my mind. Nobody can hear it. Nobody will ever know what that conversation looked like, but I have some choices in terms of how I can engage that. I can either say, okay, here's what choices are available to me and here's what I can control. And I'm going to focus there, and then I'm going to pray about the rest right now as an exercise of surrender instead of believing that my worries are better invested in my own head than they are in the hands of God. I am astounded how often I believe through my actions that whatever I'm worried about is better invested in my own fear than in the hands of God. And it's so much wiser to entrust that to the Lord, both for my own mental health and for the situation itself.
I love when you're talking about margin, because I believe it's in those mindless margin moments that we actually get to bear the stories that we carry. Because it's not going from one thing to the next. You're not trying to shove it aside. You're not trying to push anything aside, but it's kind of this opportunity to now take your thoughts really captive and put them in the ring and, you know, put them against the word of God and say, what is what I'm feeling? What is the story? What is the reality of this? What is truth to this? Because when we don't have those mindless moments, we don't know what we're really thinking about or what it is that we're experiencing or feeling. And so I love that you brought that up, because I think those are the only times that we really get to address the pain, the stories, the narratives, because otherwise we're just in a rush and in a hurry.
Yeah. And we will be ruled by the feelings we don't name and acknowledge. And there's such, and I think you and I see eye to eye on this. Feelings are so important. They're such important informants. And they are very real. We are not robots. We go through life as feeling people, paying attention to a hurting world and a broken world. And they do not have the final say. There is a difference between feelings being real and feelings being true. And so, to your point, those margin moments are such sacred moments. It's such sacred time to engage the very real feelings that you carry with the truth. And if those two things aren't talking to each other, it's very hard to get to a new place.
I love that you said that, because I'm very much the bridge. I want to build the bridge between both.
Yes.
Where it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to not always be not okay.
Right.
You know, and I think that we need to help people get to that point of saying, like, it's okay that you're sad. It's okay that you're in grief. It's okay. But I want to speak to you in love. I want to be there for you. I want to guide you to truth. I want you to know that you're seen and you're heard, but always still pointing them back to their identity in Christ instead of just leaving somebody in their feelings, which sometimes we do, or we go the other way, which is get over it. God is good. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, he has something bigger for you, which can all be true still, right?
Yes.
But when somebody's in pain, it also makes them want to shrink back and not go to you anymore. If you're just going to give them that answer. And so Love that you said that. Let's talk about practicals for a moment of mm-hmm. maybe one or two things that you like to do with your clients or in your practice when they start to feel the worry or they are aware of it, to really kind of in their at work or in the carpool line to be able to kind of bring themselves back to reasoning.
Yeah, there's three truths in the midst of worry that I think are wonderful footholds. I always picture a rock climber, you know, just sort of the wonderful crevices to kind of hold on to in the midst of maybe a very real fear that you're experiencing. The first is to remember we're not alone. So that doesn't eliminate the pain, to your point, but it does change the pain. Certainly many of us would say we have a community that's walking through those hard times with us, whether that's family members, friends, colleagues. And if you're a person of faith, of course, we always have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, which is a very real company that we often don't access. And then the second foothold is what we were talking about earlier. And I think a really great journal exercise is those two circles. So yes, I do not have control of this whole situation. And there's a freedom in acknowledging that. So I'm not going to try to control it. I'm also going to call my brain out on, thank you so much for trying to help me by worrying about it, but this is not the way. So I'm going to retrain my brain to focus on what I'm empowered to do, which is the choices I can put energy toward and actually make a difference. And I'm going to focus my energy there. I am not going to step outside that circle. And anything written in that other circle that I would love to control and can't belongs in my prayer life. And this might sound a little woo-woo, but it's not. There's a brain science here. Moving your body. So if you are praying, I did a IGTV on this last week, but if you are praying and you're a warrior, notice how you're holding your hands. And if you need to pray about something in that circle that you would love to control and can't, literally open your hands, palms up, stand up in a posture of release, or get on your knees in a posture of release, whatever you would sculpt your body to really picture that release, really moves something in our brain more than just thinking about it. Also, speaking it out loud, our brain processes it differently when we surrender things out loud versus just thinking about what we plan to surrender in our heads. So it processes it in a different part of the brain when it hears it. But also, we can only say one thing at a time. And we can think about a million things at a time. I think especially women, we've got like four different conversations going on in our head at once. And then finally, depending on where you are in your process, the third truth is, if I have to go through this situation that's causing me so much worry, how can I grow through it? What are the treasures in the wake of what feels broken and lost that I can pick up, either in terms of the situation itself or my own personal growth? How is this growing me? What are the invitations here for me in my relationship with God, in my relationship with myself? I think those are really important choices that we can make in terms of, we all go through things that make us feel fearful, but what is a narrative I'm going to carry forward? Because that is a choice I have.
Those are so good. I think anybody can take any of those and do that kind of at any time, you know, whether it's the speaking out loud. I know that's something mm-hmm. that I have to do sometimes. Mm-hmm. And in when you were talking about the tension, noticing where the tension is, I think about like completing the emotion almost, or that completing the feeling of letting it, walking it out, or moving your body in some way, mm-hmm. because there are chemicals that are kind of built up. I think that's why we kind of get like anxious feeling too. We're sitting in it and we're not moving through it. I know that's mm-hmm. helped. And so I'll tell people like, get up out of your desk. If your work is overwhelming you, stand up, march in place, try to let, I don't want to say energy because that's can be new agey, but really there's chemicals and there's things happening in your body that's a response to the thoughts that you're thinking, whether good or bad. You know, if there's joy, we'll probably have, you know, we won't have digestive issues or we'll sleep better at night. But when we're in worry, we can have digestive issues. We can clench our jaws, which I do the same thing. My jaws are the first thing and my shoulders. So there's very visible responses to what we're experiencing inside of our bodies, and our really the outside is kind of comes along for the ride, you know, what's going on inside. So thank you so much just for your wisdom, Nicole. So glad that you're here. Where can women just connect with you and go find you?
Yes, I love hearing from listeners and readers. So my website is a great place to reach out. I really love connecting with my email subscribers, and there's some great freebies on my website. And that's just Nicole, NicoleZaszowski.com. And I'm also at Nicole Zaszowski on Instagram. And I love connecting with folks there as well.
I'll make sure I have the links in the show notes below, but yes, you have great Instagram. I love your thoughts. They are just so kind, but always directing to challenging, but good. Like, they're not, for me, again, it's not leaving somebody in their pain, but helping them move through it. And that's
I'm
important.
So glad. So,
thank you again for being here. Is there something else that you wanted to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, I talk about similar themes in my first book, From Lost to Found, giving up what you think you want for what will set you free. So if that's, if you liked this conversation, there's definitely more to find there as well.
Yeah, go definitely get her book, guys. And I'm just so thankful for you and your voice. And again, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, friend. This was fun.